Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hey, welcome to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Keffer, and I'm not Steve, but I am here with Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. And
hi, Dr. Sherry.
I think Becky will be joining us shortly. We are here to be with you today. We're looking forward to taking your calls and just enjoying our time with you.
Yep. And we have some calls waiting, so
let's just dive in. Hey, Jessica. Jessica is calling from New York City, New York, and you're listening on our podcast. How can we help you today?
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Actually, I'm calling in for a comment I have because I think it's really important in regards to how to respond to people that are coming for being raped or sexually abused in a church setting or feel like they want to come forward with this. The reason why I'm calling is last Friday's show, somebody was calling in about her son coming forth, and the advice was, which I understand for generally people who haven't gone through this, it would make sense saying, oh yeah, it needs to be held accountable so your son will feel justice and to protect everybody. But I have to tell you from my experience a few years ago that the worst part, the worst place to come out is if it happens in your own community at church, because the resistance and like you're dealing with like a second trauma that you didn't even see coming.
No,
and so when I heard that comment, I want people to know, go outside of your church first to find support, be believed. And the first thing is safety, feeling safe, because there's a real danger of being retaliated against. And to tell people, oh yeah, just, you know, just go and hold people accountable, I think is not wise, because they don't even know they're running into an open knife most of the time.
Yeah, you know, so Jessica, I thank you for circling back with us. I want to hear just a bit about your story, if you're open to sharing it. Mm-hmm. But there's something that's actually called treatment trauma or community trauma, or even trauma that's experienced in a church setting when people go to the people that they think would be there with open arms to accept them and understand, and yet they end up being unseen or missed or judged, and it is a secondary trauma. Can you tell us a little bit about your story? What happened to you?
Sure. So, and I wasn't young or so anything at the time. I was in my mid-40s, and I was raped by my friend. We were both part of the community, and what is interesting is what I didn't know before. I mean, I feel like I've gotten a PhD going through this experience at this point, unfortunately, because when you go through this experience, there are so many things that are so you wouldn't think of. But when people, when it happens, I think most people have this idea it happens with people that jump out of a bush or something. It's not. It happens with people that you know.
Yeah.
People that genuine, that people that seem kind and have a great reputation.
And people that you trusted. We're coming up on a break here, but I'm so sorry, girl, that happened to you. My heart breaks. You didn't deserve that, especially from someone that looked good in your community. When we come back, I want you to think of one thing as you've gotten your PhD that helped you the most, and then we'll hear from Jackie as well. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you for listening on New Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
So great to have you all back with us. We are actually talking with Jessica. And right before the break, Jessica, I had asked you, since you've gotten your PhD, right, and going through this incredible pain of being raped, but all that you've learned, can you share with us the one thing that has helped you the most?
The most was probably when I found netgrace.org. Netgrace.org is Godly Response to Abuse in the Christian Environment. That helped me, there were a lot of different things that helped me. But the first thing was being believed. And when I came forward, and I even was telling this to a female pastor of all first, and I wasn't believed. Because a lot of people have this notion, oh, it would just be a male or a female. Well, it had nothing to do with it.
And Jessica, you know, we were talking during the break about sometimes when you've not experienced something and you have an image of the world or the institution of being a certain way,
yes,
you just can't fathom that that thing could be true. And so I think we need to make the point that what you're saying is also for those of us in ministry to hear, that we need to know that someone comes to us,
yes,
regardless of what our perspectives are, we are the caregivers in that moment. We're the first responders.
Yes, and you know what? I think it's an educational issue. I think if more people are educated about this dynamics, the responses are going to be better. The problem I had, you know, in the Christian community, the notion that you have to have Matthew 18 applied to something like this, it was the most, that really spiked my PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And for a Christian community even to understand that this is the worst thing you can do when somebody just experienced being raped, to put in the same room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that needs to get through to a lot of people, that it's a different situation when it comes to that.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I know in my life, it may be similar to you, Jessica, I never would have thought in my case that sexual betrayal through pornography, infidelity, and I was married to a pastor. I never thought for a second that that very painful thing that happened would actually become a story, a platform, a place from speaking out of my pain. And who knows, Jessica, you may be that voice in the abuse community to actually help educate. And God opens doors like that. And so we want to send you a book called Take Your Life Back, and pray that bless you as you spoke with us today. Thank you for circling back. Thank you for being an advocate about helping to educate the church on best strategies for caring for people that have been raped or had things happen to them. And I hope you're a part of the solution there. Is Becky back? I want to know.
I am back. It is nothing short of a miracle that we make this show happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and thank you both for taking care of me while I was gone.
Not a problem.
Couldn't get back.
I
just would like to go ahead and go to Judy, who's been waiting, and would love to hear from her. Her call, she's coming from Kalamazoo, Michigan, listens online, and we appreciate our online audience. And Judy, how can we help you today?
I first want to thank you guys for even doing what you do. May God continue to keep and bless you all.
Thank you so much.
I'm in a predicament that I thought I'd never have to be in. First of all, I'm still in shock. I got married when I was 21 to a gentleman, and I found God calling me a different way. So in 86, we separated, and by 91, I'd gotten a divorce, and he was like, would you still just keep my last name? We'll be together forever. I'll never marry anyone. So I start working at the hospital, moved to another city. Lo and behold, he lived five blocks around the corner, literally. He would try to get in contact with me, you know, from time to time, and it just didn't work. And I went on with my life. He had kids. I still had my one. Well, we had started talking about getting together again. And I told him he needed a little time because he had lost someone that he had stayed with for many years and had children, a child. And so that's where we were. We were on that path. He came to my church when I got ordained as an elder. He was there for the family. We had Thanksgiving together. We had Christmas together. And I was at work, got a call from his oldest son, who I helped raise along with my son, and said, Mom, what happened to Dad? And I said, what are you talking about? Well, my other younger brother called me and told me Dad died on the boat. And I was like, okay, so you guys, this is about 2 weeks ago. CO poisoning, carbon monoxide. And I was like, okay. So I reached out to all the other kids he had, and we were okay until the younger child found our texts going back and forth. At that point, he stopped me off Facebook with my ex-husband, who I was going to marry again. And he kind of discommunicated with me and made up a bogus, which is tomorrow the service, a bogus obituary. And it's okay that he don't put me on there as an ex-wife. We're ex. We hadn't gotten married again yet. But he put his mom on there as the one they were married to during the time I was still married to him. Okay. My question, with all of that said, is do I get up and speak? I know my relationship with him. I know he loved me. I know we talked about me giving my son this house. He was giving his son a house, the boats they were going to split, the cars they were going to split.
Judy.
Yes.
Do you want to get up and speak?
I do want to get up and speak,
yes.
But I don't want, just like I had a hard time with saying Judy and where I was from, and that's not true. But I'm still trying to hide. I'm still trying to hide and protect the other people. I do want to speak, but what can I say?
You have to decide what you can say and what would be appropriate. It sounds like you're really conscious of not being disrespectful and you wanting to protect people. So you'll choose the right words. Pray about it. You've got that connection. I know you have that open line, but you're not wrong for wanting to speak on behalf of this person you loved and did life with, even that you didn't do it consistently, but you guys had a relationship and there's grieving happening and who knows what's going on with the children's thinking, but that's about them. And whatever it is you want to say is about you and the relationship you had with him.
And
okay,
and I would share one.
Say that again, Judy.
It's just one child, the youngest one. The other ones are like, what? That's not true.
Well, that one is the one that is grieving and struggling, and so they're acting out from their pain, but you are going to take care of you because that one child, one's not yours, and your first responsibility has to be to put your mask on first. But Dr. Sherry, you were about to say something?
Yeah. You know, Judy, I would let go of the timeline that's in the obituary. I would let go of any territory around your relationship. And you know what I would do? I mean, this man sounds like he loved you. Like he pursued you your whole life.
Yeah.
And I would focus. Go ahead.
He told all his children, even the young one, I love her. I'm going to be with her.
I know.
He told them.
So you honor that when you speak about him.
Yeah, and I would focus in on his character. I would focus in on the legacy. I would keep my talk very focused in on honoring him as a human being and what you want everyone to remember about him.
Because then you don't have to hide.
Yeah. Don't make it about you at any point. Just don't. People know the story. Okay. But just honor him.
Tell them the things that they would never know about him.
Yeah, memories.
You know, when you think about when you leave the world, we know we could do that 2 minute, right? Well, people don't usually do the 2 minutes, but we will say, come up and say your 2 minutes about the person.
True.
Especially ministers and pastors and elders. So, you know, right?
You stop it.
So, take your 2 minutes. Okay, what was so important?
It's letting them know, because he didn't want it at a church. He wanted it at the mortuary. Them knowing that that's going to be hard, because he gave me roses and I gave him a Bible. And I reunited him back to God. And for everyone that's here, that's what I'm coming here for. To represent, if it was something he could say.
So then, talk about his reconnection with God. Talk about how important that was to him. Keep yourself out of it, because we don't want it to, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, she made it the Judy show. So we're not going to make it the Judy show. You are going to go and honor this man and talk about how loving and wonderful he was and how much he loved the Lord and he loved his children and he loved his family and the ways in which he showed that. But honor him. You have a right to do that, and he has a right to have this woman who he loved speak about him and at his homegoing service.
Yeah, okay. And you know, one of the big messages at funerals, Judy, is that there is hope in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just said was pretty powerful. That's what you did. You reconnected him to his faith. And anyone that's in the audience, including his children, would have that opportunity. And I think what you're saying, Jackie, is so true. We want to make it about him. We want to celebrate his life. And, you know, I just think that's a beautiful way to honor him. We're so glad you called, Judy. Do you have something else, Jack, you wanted to add?
No, just thank you for wanting to honor him. And also thank you for the care you want to give to his son as well, the younger child that is struggling. But everyone has their feelings and they'll have to grieve in their way.
That's right.
But in terms of honoring him, it sounds like you've got some great things to share with the world about him.
That's right. That's right. And we're so glad you called. And we're going to send you a copy of the 1 Year Bible for Women. It's, you know, a year-long journey through the Bible. Misty Arterburn added some comments to that, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. And thanks for calling, Judy. You know, we're going to go up against a break. So before I go to the next call, I just want to talk just a little bit about, you know, we're at the end of the year. We've got one more day. And, you know, this time of the year, we talk about resolutions, we talk about regrets, we talk about, you know, next year's going to be different. And, you know, I wonder if you, either one of you, would suggest a next step forward for the new year, whether it's dealing with a regret or dealing with something that they've had in their minds, maybe a dream or something, or, you know, just how do they deal with being stuck in some of those places of guilt and regret?
So for me personally, when I start to feel negative emotions as the emotional avoider in recovery, those negative emotions stop me in my tracks. And so when that bug comes up and I feel some sense of shame, because when I regret feels like shame for me, I start asking myself why I feel this way. So I get curious, just in the same way as a therapist I would with someone sitting across from me in my office. So I treat myself that same way. I get curious and I try to look for connections to why this feels so bad. Why did I make the choices that I made, and what do I want to do different in the future? And then I wrap that into a prayer, and I start my year with a fast, and that becomes the thing that I'm in prayer about.
That's great. Sherry?
You know what? I could give you a fish, Becky, about one thing I could do, or I could say, if you're having some place in your life where you're emotionally stuck, then love yourself and sign up for the Emotional Freedom Workshop that's going to happen.
I love that.
Well, and it's true, because you know what? We're going to teach you how to get free. Instead of just giving you one bit here on the radio, you're going to have a whole weekend where you can learn how, yeah. what are the steps to get free so that yeah. you can work through it
Absolutely.
In community. So
yeah, we have a 2-minute quiz that you could take at newlife.com to get you started in that direction. I love that idea, Sherry. And, you know, we would love for you to join us January 21st, all day online. And it's available for you. We'll be
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you joined us on this next to the last day of 2022. Can you believe it?
I know.
It just flew by. It's just crazy how fast it goes. Well, we are going to go right back to the calls. We're going to talk with Jen, who's calling us from St. Louis, Missouri, and watch us on YouTube. I love our YouTube family. And if you want to watch us there, you can. And go to New Life Live, and you'll find us there. And we've got all kinds of videos there as well. Jen, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate this opportunity. I am 61. I am likely facing divorce. Horrible thought, of course. Have this situation occurred a few days ago that was felt like the last straw. It's the second time he has left. One other time some months ago for several days, and I contemplated then what was God's plan. Since the return, it's been a continual seem to be of him regretting that he even returned. He kept trying to work through things and stay in church, and this has ultimately come out with he said he never should have married me in the first place. And I can't say I didn't see maybe some warning signs, but just kept feeling like I wasn't ready to be a quitter. The complicated part of it is he has a diagnosis that causes at times a lot of confusion, forgetfulness, and such. But I think I've seeing a lot of the behaviors and to myself just made an excuse for it, how it affects me because of a diagnosis, because still the hardness mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. so forth has definitely added up in taking my self-esteem down, which is, I'm not going to let that happen.
Mm. Jen, can I ask you a question?
Really positive.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, please. How long have you guys been married?
7 years.
Okay. And were you married before, and was he married before?
Yes.
Okay.
And why did the marriages fail? Can you just give us an idea what happened in your prior marriage?
Well, yes. And that was the thing, that we both had been through so much of the same thing. I thought we really understood a lot of that. For he and I both previously had been a very long relationship that consisted of a lot of infidelity. Mm-hmm. And I left, and he stayed in that situation. Ultimately, he said for reasons he was worried about what people would think and lack of money and so forth. So it was a God bless somebody for enduring, I guess. But once I put it together and realized how many people had probably already known it for some time, or I was blind, didn't want to think that was going on, I left. Mm-hmm. But that was each of our previous history. And mm-hmm. I have felt a lot of times, like his anger over what happened was taken out on me, learning you've got to heal from one relationship before you get into another.
Mm-hmm. Jen, you said you had seen some red flags. Did you see these red flags before you all were married 7 years ago, or are you saying you've been seeing
not
it throughout the relationship?
Mm. Not at all before we got married, no.
Okay.
And it's over basically, he wanted a Christian marriage and a godly wife, which certainly doesn't mean perfection, but to me it means God comes first, then the husband and wife, protect one another, and it's been, because of comments from adult children, it seems he would rather be there.
Mm. Jen, so what is your question? What question would be the most helpful for you for Sherry and Jackie to answer?
Well, that's good, because I've already thought through the thought of going back, or I haven't even been in touch with him for a couple days. Going back, working out again, that sends a warning sign to me, don't. Just thoughts on the next step, possibly.
Okay. So you have thought of going back, and you're in, or you've thought
of... No, I have a red flag if I think about it, or if I think of calling him or him.
So every time it comes up, you get this red flag that says absolutely not.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What do you think that red flag is? Where do you think that's coming from?
God.
You trust God?
Warning sign.
You trust God?
Yes, I do.
And so what's the next step? Have you asked God what the next step is?
I've kept praying for my husband and his family and forgiveness in my heart.
Two things can be true at one time. You can be praying for him and want the best for him and be working towards forgiveness for him and still be looking out for yourself and taking care of yourself and focusing on what God has for you going forward.
I believe he's leading me to go to another church tonight. We have stayed in church regularly and a lot, and even changed churches a few times because of some activities that my husband wanted to be involved in. So it's been a lot of give and take. It's just staying in church, though. But I believe right now God is telling me to move forward, and there's a local church. I really am going to try to...
Okay, Jen, hold on just a second. You can hear the music. We're going to go to a break, and I want to hear what Sherry has for you after the break. It's hard to make decisions when there's a lot of chaos and a lot of pain going on, and so I appreciate you wanting to hear from God to know what the next step is. And I think, you know, for all of us, that we've been in those places where, you know, God, what are you doing, and what am I supposed to be doing with it? We'll be right back after the break.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, it's always something, and that's why we are here, and we're so glad to be able to help you in wherever life has taken you. At this point, we're talking with Jen, who's been married 7 years. It's a second marriage, and is really at a crossroads. Sherry, I would love for you to give her some insight and...
Yeah. Well, hey, Jen, it has to be devastating, like shattering, to have come from a long-term marriage where there was infidelity, and then to have your husband very recently, just in the last few days, rewrite history. By saying that, I don't love you. I should have never married you in the first place. What are you doing with those feelings? That has to be tremendous rejection. How's your heart?
Oh, and because I do not believe he feels at fault for anything, and I personally believe everyone makes mistakes in any relationship. But if he's not willing to admit any, well, I won't say any.
But you know what I'm wondering about? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm wondering about? I am wondering about your heart. How are you feeling? Mm-hmm. I have in my office, I just bought a big feeling pillow. It's got all these multicolors with a bunch of feelings. But can you find a feeling? Sad, mad, hurt, scared.
Shock is the biggest one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Even though there's been some signs a little bit here, whenever we'd get opportunity to go to a certain place every once in a while, it was what I feel is a negative group of people, and no matter whether it's family, friends, or whoever, I believe avoiding negativity is necessary, but praying for those people.
But avoiding negativity can be actually a form of denial or deflecting emotions, maybe deflecting sad emotions or bad emotions or negative emotions. Can you tell me a little bit about growing up? Did you grow up in a house where you felt you were not seen, heard, or known? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I felt very much not loved. I wondered for some time if I was adopted because the younger two siblings got a lot of attention. I was, and this is not feeling sorry for myself. I've tried to approach this with another family.
But what if it is feeling sorry for yourself and that's okay?
Well,
what if it is? You don't have to qualify that.
Nice, Jackie.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're in a safe place here.
Yeah. Where I was in a bedroom with my sister, and when it came night, my mother would come in and tuck my sister in and leave the room, and I would think, there's another person in this room.
Oh, my goodness.
That was regular, I came to the conclusion that I was born really early in the marriage. I mean, about a year later, but it was a quite difficult situation for my mother, for both my parents. Mom had moved away across the state and was rejected immediately when going there to meet some new family.
Jen.
And things like that. That didn't help me change how I felt.
Right. So it's interesting that we're talking about you and your feelings and your emotions and your experience, and you begin to describe mom. You begin to describe husband, right? Rather than own your emotions and own what's going on inside of you. I think what you were going towards, Sherry, is you never learned to trust your own instincts, your own emotions inside of you. You never were allowed to express them and have someone validate them.
Right.
And so now it's hard for you to do that, right?
Yes.
It's hard for you to feel okay feeling your feelings without explaining away what the reasons are.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm wondering too, Jen, have you ever worked with a counselor at all, or like even in your previous marriage and even in this one?
Yes.
Okay.
The earlier relationship, yes. Did you want me to tell about it or just...
Well, no, I just was wondering if you had had... You are so guarded. And I get that because you've had a lot of pain. And I think that's where you were going, Sherry, that pillow would be perfect for Jen, you know, because how do we get to know our feelings? And I would love for you to kind of direct her in that way of maybe some steps in trying to make this decision.
Yeah, it's the first step. It might sound so simple. It's so elementary that you might even not even think about writing it down. But I want you to write it down, Jen. And this is true. Number one is I have a right to feel my feelings. I have a right. I have a right to have feelings. And I have a right to feel my feelings. And number two is I can choose to stay isolated in how what I do with my feelings, or I can choose to connect with somebody else and share my feelings there.
I'm just remembering something you said a couple of moments ago. You avoid negativity at all costs. Family, friend, it doesn't matter. If it's negative, you're avoiding it. You're avoiding a part of you. Because there are some emotions that might come up for you. Well, I can only imagine hearing your husband say that he shouldn't have married you and he doesn't love you. There's some negative emotions associated with that, and they don't have to be explained away. But it would be really wonderful if you could work with someone to uncover the depth of those emotions and maybe even do some trauma work from the interpersonal trauma of your childhood.
Because being a little girl, Jen, and having your mom come in every night and tuck your other sister in and then wait in longing, wishing, hoping that night after night that maybe she'd come your way, that maybe she'd think about you, but she didn't. That's devastating. I talk about that when I talk about the wounds of omission. That's a trauma of omission. It's the good.
Almost. I won't say she never did, but mostly not. Yes.
Okay.
And also, I never felt the love of my father until he was an alcoholic father.
Okay.
And I always longed for a hug.
Of course.
And, you know, when you're following him out in the yard and things like that. And until I had my daughter at age 29, almost 30, and he had a grandchild at that time, instead of just coming over where it was obvious that he was coming to see her, which was okay at the time, but one day he said, would you like to go to this? It was a local activity. I thought, So the three of us went. And that was a few months before he died.
Aww. Do you know, I don't know, Jackie and Sherry, if you agree with this, but Jen, the fact that you have this big red flag when you think about going back to your husband, it's, I think, the echo of being rejected from before. And so you just know when somebody's walking away from you, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go back into the relationship. And I don't know, Sherry and Jackie, do you think that that might be where that red flag is coming from?
Absolutely. And was it Maya Angelou who said we need to believe people when they show us who they are? And he's shown you.
It's well, so it's,
that in the middle of the year, he did this for a few days. And then we kept in touch almost daily, just light things. And he came back.
But where did he go? Do you know where he went?
Yes, this time.
Either time.
It was the daughter about 40 miles from home.
Have you talked to the daughter herself?
Or no.
Okay, but he told you he went to the daughter's house. I don't know, Jenna. I'm not trying to disrupt your apple cart here because I know you have a lot of pain going on and you have pain in your relationship with your folks and you have pain from a past marriage with infidelity. But I can't help but sit here and hear him rewrite history with you. Like, I want you to know I never loved you and I want you to know I should have married you. I'm sitting here going, this is what I'm saying. Who is this other person that he's seeing right now? Like, is there another woman? Is he looking at porn? Something's going on, girl, that you may not know about.
Yes. That's what he's been like a mother figure to me. The last time you left, asked me, do you think that's what's going on?
Well, you know what, Jen? I think you're going to have more clarity. We're going to send you a copy of Sherry's book, Intimate Deception, because I think that it will help you understand what's happening and lead you into some next steps. Maybe even join us at the Emotional Freedom Online One Day Workshop just to get moving forward.
Great idea. Yeah.
We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Steve Arterburn here. Here is a result of your generosity. Restore has empowered me and has given me the tools to work through my anger, work through my pain, work through my confusions, and help me realize I am worthy. I do matter. Restore, you have changed my life forever. Your giving has changed her life forever.
You know, I just can't help but think of all the lives, all the testimonies that we have heard over the years because of their encounter with New Life. You know, whether it would be a workshop or maybe, you know, just the other day I was talking to somebody on the phone and they said, New Life Live saved my life. And I went, wow, that's a really big claim. And he said, it's because I was listening at a time in my life where I was at the bottom. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to talk to. And just by listening, I learned some steps to take forward. He got connected with a counselor, and it saved his marriage, and it saved his family. And that's what your giving does. And I just want to say thank you so much to our Club New Life family who faithfully give every month and make it possible for us to do what we do every day, and that is to extend help and hope to so many people. I also want to encourage you, if you have never given before, and a lot of people, that might be you, I want you to take a risk. It doesn't have to be millions of dollars, although we would take that check. I just want to encourage you, start to give back, because it really makes a difference in the lives of so many people, and especially if you've gotten anything from listening to the program. Or maybe you've gone to one of our counselors, or maybe you've, you know, checked out our articles and our resources online. I think it can make all the difference in the world in your life if you will begin to give as well. At the end of the year, you know, it's obvious that we're going to ask for those gifts to come in, but we just appreciate everything that comes in because we know God's going to use it to change somebody's life, and we are privileged to be able to see that front row experience, and I'm so glad. We're going to take one more call before the end of the show. It's Valerie, who's calling us from Visalia, California, watches us on YouTube, and we're so glad you called. Val, how can we help you today?
Hi. So I tend to overcommit myself, and I've done it again, and I am just wondering how you go about figuring out how to slow down and kind of fall into more of a rhythm than kind of being all over the place, overcommitting and burning out.
Okay, great question. Sherry, Jackie?
Yeah, so Valerie, growing up in your home, did you get emotional cookies for caretaking? Did you find...
Yeah, that was pretty much all of them.
Tell us a little bit about the emotional cookies you got growing up.
Pretty much I found myself to be very annoying as a child. Like, I tended to annoy adults, and I still do sometimes. But I didn't know I had ADHD as a kid, but if I was helping, if I was doing something that was helping the teacher or helping my parents or helping at church, then people were cool with me. And
Wow. What great insight. I'm so proud of you, Valerie. You know how many of us, I just want you to know, everybody who's listening to you right now is leaning in, because there are a number of us, many of us, who do exactly the same thing, because somewhere along the way, because of your ADHD and you're very busy, active, you would get in trouble or have people like push back emotionally. But when you found that you were helping equaled receiving love to you. Like, if I help, I get some of the good emotions that I normally don't get when I'm just being myself with my ADHD brain. And I think a lot of parents don't realize how much negative energy goes towards their kids that have ADHD. They get frustrated easy, you know, and so you're picking up on all that. And so you found a way to feel loved. And the challenge is, you're now, as an adult, going out there doing things because you want to have cookies left for you. And it's exhausting you, because there is a part of you that doesn't know what it feels like to be loved, ADHD at all. To be loved and accepted. You still have that movie going on in your head that I'm annoying. I'm annoying to adults. I can still hear that you believe that. So you feel like you have to do an exchange. Like, you know, at Christmas time, a lot of us did bake cookies and we had a cookie exchange. Well, you're doing an exchange. You're giving gifts or overextending yourself in hopes of getting love and acceptance from others.
Yeah, so people won't push you away, you know, have that uncomfortable feeling of, ugh, am I talking too much? Am I being too weird? Am I being too awkward? I'm an adult with ADHD who didn't know she had it as a kid either. And as you were talking, I was like, oh, yeah, that's how it happened. So I used to say I love to have my plate overflowing. Things need to be falling off of it for me to be content. And I'll be 55 next month. And so I don't have the energy I used to have. And so during the pandemic, work, there was a lot more work for us as therapists. And I think I hit my wall. And I realized I have to say no to some things. So what I decided to do was I take a look at every decision I'm going to make. And I say, am I doing this for me or am I performing for someone else?
For a cookie.
For a cookie. And if I'm performing to get a cookie, I have to decide, is this me saying yes to something? That means I have to say no to something that I really do need to do, want to do, or God is calling me to do. It took some time. It took me choosing. Last year, my word was presence and present. It took me spending the year committed to being present in every moment. And guess what? If you're overcommitted, you can't be present. Because while you're in the midst of one thing, you're preparing and thinking about the next thing. And so we miss out on a lot of things, and we don't remember a lot of things. You know, people are like, oh, do you remember back in 4 years ago? We didn't. No, I don't remember because I wasn't even mentally present. I was busy doing something else. So it is, there's not an easy path to it. You could also consider therapy. And I don't know if you've ever been treated for your ADHD. There are some medications out there, non-stimulant medications that can be helpful. But really, say that again.
I am taking something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and listen, well, we're down to like the last few seconds, so I don't want to run out, but I just want to identify what you're saying. And I also think that we have to be focused on who God says we are, because in this process of understanding, we can have that I'm annoying or I'm fully loved and accepted by God. And try to integrate that into our thinking while we're looking at, you know, assessments for ADD and medicine. And it's all part of a big puzzle.
I see it as a superpower. My ADHD allows me to do things that others can't even fathom. People used to say, how do you get all that done? I don't even think about it. I just do, and I do the next thing.
Yeah.
So it's I see it as a gift, and I don't allow people to shame me for it. My brain is made differently. I'm neurodivergent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we are so glad.
Let's send her the book, Understanding and Loving Someone with ADD. And Valerie, I want you to read it and love yourself, girl.
Yes. I love that. And happy 2023. This is the end of the year, but we're going to be back next year. Tomorrow is the beginning of the end. And we'll have a great new year with you guys. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Jackie. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.